Hello again and welcome to the Orwell Astronomical Society podcast for October 2014. Well, here we are in October and the nights are visibly drawing in. Indeed, don't forget to move your clocks back 1 hour towards the end of the month. First this month, the moon information. Full moon is on the 8th and new moon is on the 23rd of the month. But there's also something quite special happening on the 25th of October, a lunar occultation of Saturn. The moon will move in front of Saturn, producing a relatively rare but very beautiful sight. At 1706 BST, Saturn will disappear behind the dark edge of a very thin crescent moon, reappearing at 1808 BST. Now these times are for Ipswich, and they will be slightly different elsewhere. If you get a chance to look through a telescope or binoculars, please do so. The sight of Saturn slowly disappearing rings first is amazing. But I have to warn you that it is close to the Sun, so please be very careful if you do use telescopes or binoculars not to accidentally look at the Sun. Now on to the planets. Jupiter is the best planet to see this month, being best observed, that is, when it's at its highest in the sky, at the end of the month, around 5 a.m. in the south-southeast. Mars and Saturn are very low down this month. Mars is just above the south-southwest horizon in the early evening around the 20th in the constellation of Ophiuchus, the serpent bearer, the virtually unknown 13th star sign of the zodiac. If you have a small telescope, you will notice the definite reddish colour of Mars caused by the iron content of its surface. If you have a bigger telescope, you should be able to see features such as the polar ice caps, surface features, and possibly dust storms. Saturn is low down in the southwest in Libra. Mercury is quite good before dawn at the end of the month, rising to about 7 degrees above the horizon in the east-southeast. And, as always, for the adventurous amongst you, Uranus and Neptune are quite well placed to look out for the whole month. Both these planets may be seen around midnight in the south, particularly at the beginning of the month, Uranus being in Pisces and Neptune in Aquarius. Now Venus is not visible at all this month. Right, now let's move on to the meteor showers for the month. Quite a bumper crop. Around the 8th of the month, the Draconid meteor shower reaches its peak. This is quite an unpredictable shower and can give some quite good numbers. The best time to look out is around midnight. The star shower this month will be the Orionids, which reach their peak around the 20th to the 22nd of the month. And again, it is best to view after midnight and before dawn. You can expect a zenithal hourly rate of around 25 meteors per hour. But of course, that doesn't guarantee these numbers, and in fact there may be more, but most probably less. And just to spoil us, at the end of the month, from about the 28th into November, there is the Taurid meteor swarm. Now this particular shower is not very numerous, and is associated with the short-period comet Encke. October is still a good time for observing the Milky Way, as I talked about last month, as it is still almost directly overhead. How about looking at something a little further than our own galaxy? Now is a good time to try and find one of our neighbouring galaxies, the Andromeda Galaxy, or Messier catalogue number M31. The Andromeda Galaxy is a little larger than our own Milky Way galaxy and looks very similar in that it has a rather nice spiral structure. It can be found very close to the square of Pegasus and is reasonably well overhead in the late evening. Check online or in a star atlas to find its location. Do bear in mind, however, that it is larger than you might think when you look out for it and is best viewed through a pair of binoculars. Now the Andromeda Galaxy and the Milky Way Galaxy are actually rushing headlong towards each other, and over the next few billion years will interact and most probably form one huge galaxy. Don't worry, we probably won't know anything about it. We do have several smaller, closer neighbouring galaxies, and the most famous of these being the large and small Magellanic Clouds. But as these are quite close to the South Celestial Pole, you have to travel to the Southern Hemisphere to be able to see them properly. I hope that this podcast has given you some ideas of what to look out for this month. There is plenty more out there to see, and I recommend that you look on the internet, astronomy magazines, or in an astronomy book or sky map, to show you what else is out there and where to look for it. Another useful tool is a planisphere, which you can use to find out exactly what is overhead at any time and date of the year. And these are readily available from any good bookshop. Listen out for next month for November's highlights. Bye for now.